This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Melbourne's biggest gay voice has a fresh new sound.
Fresh new sound.
Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Pete Dillon, on this lovely Melbourne Cup evening.
Happy Melbourne Cup Day to you.
And to you too, my dear.
Did you have a happy cup day?
I did.
A couple
I didn't
of happy
go.
Cups of something?
I did, no, none of the above.
Oh.
But I did have a lovely day.
Well, what I'd like to talk about is some of the disasters that we witnessed on our way in here. Of course, it's 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night.
It's Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9. You know, we want to hear about your Melbourne Cup stuff today, so you can send us an SMS on 0427JOY949. What about the landline?
Oh, you can ring 1300JOY949. That's 1300 569 949. Speak to the lovely Matt on the desk.
He's
sitting
nice.
There waiting for your call. He's a bit bored. It's public holiday and all.
No, the station's a bit quiet, so you can also send us a message on air at joy.org.au. Plus, you can get us on the tweets.
Yes, salt, pepper, joy.
That's, so that's an, N in, the
an
middle.
N in the middle. Yes.
We try and make that fancy, but it never works. So, Melbourne Cup fashion atrocities, go.
Well, look, I think when people are on their way to the races, some of them look quite respectable.
Mm-hmm.
On their way home, after having perhaps a glass or two of the fizz.
Getting a bit over-refreshed.
Slightly over-refreshed. We actually saw some things on the way in that just beggared belief. There was a young woman... The choice of frock in the first place, it was very, very short.
And she was...
Bleached hair.
She was a larger girl.
She was a larger girl. And she was wearing a pair of Crocs as the footwear. And look, I wouldn't have minded had there been a pair of heels or some wedges or, Lord knows, a mango espadrille in hand, but nothing except a small purse. And
I suspect she was also carrying a roadie.
Quite possibly a tinny of something,
tinny.
Yes. An Elko Pop, which didn't run today.
No,
by the way.
No. I didn't actually see the race, but I'm glad an Irish horse won because I am of the Irish ilk.
Look, I'm just not glad the bloody thing won because I didn't have any money on it.
Oh, sucks to be you, love.
It does.
Look, other fashion atrocities. We did see something at Flinders that concerned me.
Yes.
I struggled to describe it, but I did liken it to a piece of female genitalia.
Yes, yes. A hat that looked somewhat... vagina-like in style with bits hanging off it.
It was not a fascinator, it was a vaginator.
A vaginator, yes. Mm. And then, of course, across the road at Hungry Jack's here from the Joy Studio, a young man nicely put together in a suit but rather over-refreshed. Not sure if he was coming or going.
I think pistas and nudes more accurate. But he was delightful.
He was.
Delightful.
What I need to know is Seamus, who does listen to our show, I need to know how he went in the ninth race because there's a horse called Famous Seamus, which I know he had a bet on, and lots of red was what he paired it with in a quinella.
And so how, given that you watched the race and you know who won, did he win anything at all?
No. This is a later race, by which stage I couldn't have given a toss. I was too busy concentrating on getting this very, very busy program together with you.
Well, we do have a big one tonight. We're talking to the amazing John Becker, formerly of The Truth Wins Out. He's a regular on our show.
Yes.
He's in Connecticut, and he's going to give us his thoughts on the election, which is in progress.
Well, yes, tomorrow morning about 10:30, the news will start filtering in here about some of the early states, and of course that will happen all day. Predictions of a close one.
I don't think so. I think Obama's got it in the bag.
I think it's going to be in a landslide. I've been doing a bit of, you know how I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to United States politics, doing a bit of the things online.
Crunching numbers,
which states are likely to fall where, and I reckon Obama, and I'll put this on the record publicly, about 309, 310 of the college votes. He only needs 270 to win. So that would be a little bit of a landslide.
Well, let's hope so. Before we talk to John, we're going to talk to Tom Mooney from Rainbow Labor in South Australia. There's been some stuff going on with the Liberal Party and some allegations of homophobia. So we're going to chat about that, and we will also talk to Greens Senator Shane Ruttenberry.
He's actually the MLA in the ACT.
I always get it wrong.
I know, there's so many acronyms. He's he's recently elected in the ACT elections. Katie Gallagher has, there were eight Liberal, eight Labor seats won. There's 17 seats in the parliament. So he, the Greens, have formed a bit of a coalition with Labour with some
conditions.
Caveats.
Yeah, we're going to chat to him.
This is the gayest station in the nation, Joy 94.9. You're listening to Salt and Pepper with Serena and Pete. It must be Tuesday.
Ethel Chop here. You're listening to Joy 94.9. Idiot.
Yes, indeed, you are listening to Joy 94.9. It is 7:15 on a lovely Tuesday, Melbourne Cup night. Serena Ryan and I are here to have a look at what's happening in the news.
We are, and we're probably going to throw to a bit of American news later, but yes. I think we're going to go to something more local right now.
We will. We'd love to hear from you. 0427 Joy 949. We have a message that someone's cousin's a jockey and he didn't win the cup, but he won a couple of other races today. Thank you, Tristan.
And we send a great shout out to Craig. His name is Craig W.
Yes.
And, chookers, well done.
Excellent. You can email us on air@joy.org.au. Serena, if they want to tweet.
Well, you can go to Salt N Pepper Joy. You can send us an SMS on 0427 Joy 949.
Or ring Matt on the front desk.
On the Dog and Bone, 1300 Joy 949. You know, ring up and say hello.
Yeah. Now, a bit of a story in the news just this last couple of days. Some fairly nasty homophobic comments from the South Australian Liberal Party. Now, these have been exposed in the House of Assembly during a discussion of Supreme Court Justice Ted Mulligan's appointment as a commissioner for the inquiry into sexual abuse of children in care. Tom Mooney is the co-convener of Rainbow Labor in South Australia. Joins us on the phone. Tom, good evening.
Good evening.
Some fairly damning comments.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if what was revealed during the debate in the House of Assembly is true, it certainly suggests that there's some deep-seated homophobia within the Liberal Party in South Australia.
Look, you know, this is off the back of, you know, some clearly articulated homophobia nationally in the Liberal Party, certainly when you've got the leader, you know, jumping up and down saying that he's a bit threatened by the homos. What I find really interesting is that the opposition leader, Isabel Redman, confirmed that this was actually said during the meeting, that he said, you know, this woman's sexuality was called up for question, and she's saying that, you know, we agree that it's said, but this is not because it's not the reason why we didn't endorse this man to head up the inquiry. What do you make of that?
I mean, certainly it's concerning. What Isabel Redman has confirmed is that the comments were made by the previous Attorney General, Robert Lawson. So he was a shadow Attorney General when he was having a conversation with the Attorney General at the time, Mick Atkinson. And she was at that meeting. She confirmed that the recollection of the events was correct, and that those comments were made by Robert Lawson. So certainly she's confirmed that they were made and the inferences were there.
Let's run back over the comments. Michael Atkinson and Robert Lawson had a discussion opposing the appointment of Supreme Court Justice Ted Mulligan to an inquiry. Now, the reason being was that he had shared chambers with Dame Roma Mitchell. Now, for those that don't know, Dame Roma Mitchell is a former governor of South Australia. She was a Supreme Court Justice. She was a groundbreaker as far as women were concerned in South Australia, died in the year 2000. Extraordinary sort of allegations. First of all, to suggest that Dame Roma was in fact a lesbian or may have been a lesbian, and then deciding not to give this chap, this former Supreme Court Justice, this position to head up an inquiry because he shared an office with her. Is that sort of like,
you know,
contagious. She might be gay so you can catch it?
I think the suggestion is maybe that because he shared an office with a woman who was reported to be a lesbian, not even confirmed, that perhaps he wasn't fit to be the commissioner for an inquiry into abuse of children in state care. So, it suggests that there's an inference being drawn between homosexuality and paedophilia, I guess.
Well, I mean, that's certainly the inference that we take from it, is that that homosexuality is linked to paedophilia, as you say, and secondly, that anybody who heads up this inquiry cannot be associated with anybody who is homosexual. But I think they've drawn a terribly long bow here, Tom, by suggesting that he would be less than capable of heading up this inquiry simply because he shared an office with someone.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's what, certainly concerns us, is that these kinds of ideas, which are outdated and kind of, from previous generations, would continue to play a part in the considerations of decisions being made by the Liberal Party.
Well, how they could consider perhaps the speaking ill of the dead in the first place. I mean, she has been dead for 12 years and what her sexuality has to do with this man taking a role is beyond understanding. What are you guys doing in South Australia? What's Rainbow Labor doing now to call into question these gentlemen that have had this discussion? Also calling into question the opposition leader, Isabel Redmond.
I mean, certainly, I'll have to be fair and say that Isabel Redmond is one person in the Liberal Party in South Australia who is quite supportive of issues affecting the gay community. But certainly she hasn't done enough in this instance to repudiate those comments and to clarify whether or not that was a consideration of the party room at the time, and to distance the current party from those comments and to make sure that they aren't sentiments which are currently held by people that make up the Liberal Parliamentary Party in South Australia.
Do you really think she's going to do that, though, given the track record of the Liberal Party being so staunchly opposed to anything relating to homosexuality?
I think that if Isabel Redmond wants to do as she says, and I mean, she claims to be a fairly progressive person who supports the community. If she wants to live up to that claim, then she really needs to come out strongly against these comments.
Probably not the right idea, but we've got a message in here, Tom, from one of our listeners, James, who says it's odd that Rainbow Labor forgets John Murphy and Joe de Bruin when discussing homophobia in politics.
I mean, certainly there are people within the Labor Party as well who, Rainbor Labor doesn't share views with these issues on, but I think that's more a reflection of, you know, the broad church that is the Labor Party. But at the same time, we, you know, our party leadership still has a respectful discussion on these issues. And I think it's a bit different to bring Joe Bruin into the argument. He may oppose, for example, same-sex marriage and equal marriage, but certainly he, I don't think that he would agree that sharing an office with a woman who was reported to be a lesbian is an adequate or is a real consideration of someone's ability to fill that kind of role.
You make a valid point, and it's interesting you call it a broad church when de Bruin Murphy et al. Are in fact members of the very strong Catholic right of the Labor Party. Tom, thank you for your time. It's been good to talk to you and get your position. What are the next steps just before we let you go?
I mean, we'll continue to call for Isabel Redmond to distance herself from these comments and continue to advocate for these issues in South Australia.
And maybe press them for a more appropriate code of conduct.
Yeah, perhaps.
Perhaps. Wouldn't that be nice? Look, we've just been chatting to Tom Mooney, who is the co-convener of Rainbow Labor in South Australia. Tom, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Take care. I think we're going to go send some messages, Pete.
Yes, we should. Let's do that.
Yes.
Let's have a kiki.
I want to have a kiki.
Lock the doors.
Right. Let's have a kiki.
You're having a kiki with Serena and Pete here on Joy 94.9.
I want to have a kiki.
Dive.
Turn.
Work.
Let's have a kiki.
We are going to serve.
And work.
And turn.
And
hello, this is Alison Moyer. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
You certainly are listening to Joy 94.9. It's 29 minutes past 7 on a Tuesday evening here on Salt and Pepper and Joy 94.9. Send us a message on air at joy.org.au or an SMS.
20427 Joy 949.
On the landline.
1300 Joy 949.
And Twitter.
Salt and Pepper Joy.
Oh, lovely. Nicely done. Look, we are waiting to talk to John Becker on the phone from America. So whilst we do that, we thought we might just pre-announce some of this stuff. There's a lot of fantastic endorsement happening in America at
there
the moment for a couple of very funny people. And they're not just going about endorsing Obama. What I like is that there's a strong call to action to get people to vote because it's not compulsory to vote in America.
No, it's not. It's not. And we do have to remember it's 3:30 in the morning in Connecticut, so that's probably why we're struggling to get John. He might,
oh, that's okay.
Might have slept through his alarm.
He might have. It's been known to happen.
Yes, it has. Who do we want to start with? Perhaps Will Ferrell.
Look, I like Will Ferrell because he's done a really good parody on the importance of voting. Mm. So why don't we play that first and then come back and have a chat and see what's up next?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Will Ferrell, comedian, actor, founder of Facebook, and I will do anything to get you to go out and vote on November 6th. I'm not kidding. Hungry? How about a home-cooked meal? Hope you like angel hair pasta. You need a guy to help you move a couch? Done. I've even got my own van. If you agree to vote in this year's election, I will personally give you a tattoo. Fair warning, I do not know how to draw. I'll do a dance just for you. That was just a taste. If you want the full buffet, you're gonna have to vote. If you vote, I'll eat anything you tell me to. Garbage, hair, human toenails, underpants, whatever. I'll do it. I'm serious. I'll do anything to get you to vote. I'll punch myself in the face. I don't care. Whatever it takes, just go to the polls on November 6th and vote. Vote Obama. It's a slam dunk.
He is a very funny young man, isn't he?
Yes. Now, I have an email here that's been sent by your dad.
My dad?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's Peter Ryan, right?
Yeah, Papa Ryan.
Papa Ryan. Yeah. He signed off Papa. So we know they're listening in WA. It's come through on the email. Hi, sorry, our sound's gone for a while due to some well-intentioned tweaking by a certain brud. You get this?
That would be my brother.
Sorry, yep. We don't get to listen to your latest quips with Pete Pepper. And hopefully some more toad in the hole for Twit Romney of Romneysville South Bum Place. I'm not using that word that your father has used. So that's love yes from Papa. And I told you to stop doing that, Lola.
Oh, look, you know, my dad has a reasonable obsession with my dog and the fact that she humps everything with a pulse. And so he's always sending her presents and telling her to behave. That's so lovely. Mari and Peter Ryan in Western Australia. Love your guts. Thanks for listening, sort of.
It's good to hear from you. Now, we wanted to move on to it's Tammy Baldwin, who we talked about some time ago on our 11 o'clock slot that we were doing previously, who sits on the brink of becoming the first openly gay candidate elected to the Senate. She is from the great state of Wisconsin, which brought us many things.
And none which spring to mind.
No. She's a Democrat, and she's very likely to be elected to the Senate, which is fantastic news. She's quite a smart woman, and she's recently had a bit of a debate with the incumbent Republican Tommy Thompson, who I think he's a bit of an idiot. Yes. So in this debate, Tommy's talking to Tammy Baldwin about equal marriage, and this is you sort of get an idea of the discussion.
71 out of the 72 counties voted for a constitutional amendment in Wisconsin, and I support those 71 counties same-sex marriage is not legal in the state of Wisconsin, and I support that. It's an issue that's left up for the states, and that's where it should be.
Representative Baldwin?
I believe in principles of equality, and I certainly support marriage equality. I recognize what the voters of Wisconsin decided back in 2006. We know that every year people are thinking about this issue and changing their minds. I was very moved when I saw the president's interview in which he talked about his journey to support marriage equality. He talked about the parents of his daughter's friends. He talked about meeting soldiers serving our country. He talked about all of the conversations along the way that got him to change his mind. I think that's what's happening across America.
Your time has expired, Representative Baldwin. Our next question is...
Look, I think she's a very intelligent lady.
Yep, and I would be very happy to see her elected to be the first openly gay candidate elected to the Senate from the good state of Wisconsin.
Well, what I really like is that she has this really strong throng of volunteers from the Victory Fund, which works to get gay and lesbian, bisexual and trans candidates elected to office. Mm. And they've come as far as Florida, New York and California to volunteer for her campaign.
That's magnificent.
I just think, activate the gay phone tree.
Now, speaking of which, magnificent.
Oh, and the gay phone tree. We've got the lovely John Becker, bleary-eyed on the phone. Good evening, John, my darling. How are you?
Good evening, Serena and Pete. I'm doing well. How are you? A little bit bleary-eyed, but energetic and fired up and ready to go.
Well, thank you for getting out of bed at 3:30 in the morning to talk to us. What's the feeling like where you are? You're obviously very politically active. What's the feeling like ready for this great big day that is ahead of you guys?
Well, I'm in Vermont, which is a very, very solidly blue state. So the energy here is really high, really great. Everybody here is really excited to go out and vote for President Obama to give him another term. Actually, the enthusiasm is so high here that some people, myself included, we're going by the busload to New Hampshire, which is right next door. It's a little bit more the state trends blue, but it's a little bit there's a little bit more of a conservative streak there. So we're all headed over there just a couple of hours to make sure to knock on doors and to make sure enough voters get out that New Hampshire votes for President Obama as well.
Look, I think what you're doing over there is such wonderful stuff. You're such a strong campaigner, which is why we wanted to talk to you, because we thought you could give us a pretty good breakdown of where the strengths and weaknesses of Obama's campaign might exist right now. Are there any weak spots that we need to be aware of going to the booths?
The momentum is on the president's side nationally. That's the good thing. The latest polls that I've seen have shown that in all the key swing states, the numbers are breaking his way. So the momentum is clearly on his side. I don't know if you've already discussed this, but there's this amazing pollster named Nate Silver who basically called the entire 2008 election. He had 49 out of 50 states predicted correctly. And he predicted that the president is about 91% likely to win, and I think he updated it to 92% likely to win. So, we've got and that's the one pollster everyone's watching. So, we've got a lot of momentum. In terms of weak spots, he took North Carolina from red to blue in 2008, and they're not sure that he's going to be able to do that again. They figure that that's pretty likely going to be red. But in terms of other weak spots where he should be performing better than he will be, there aren't any more that I'm aware of.
Now you're going on by the busloads in New Hampshire, and I believe that's where is that the state that Romney is claiming that he's hailing from at the moment?
Yeah, he's having his party in Boston tonight. But yeah, he's got a second home in New Hampshire on a lake up there.
So, well, he has about 11 homes, doesn't he?
New Hampshire, Michigan, California, take your pick. And it varies by the day. So.
And you also mentioned swing states. Obviously, the two key states that have the most Electoral College votes are Ohio and Florida. Early polling has been really positive for Obama in both of those states.
Yes. Yeah, we're really excited about both of those, especially Ohio, where he looks really strong. Actually, just tonight, I mentioned Nate Silver, that big-time pollster over here. He put Florida into the leaning Obama column as well, so that got a lot of people psyched up. But in terms of electoral votes, Ohio and Florida are the two that are absolutely huge. And frankly, if the president gets Ohio specifically, then we'll know, if and when that happens, that Mitt Romney is essentially toast, because without Ohio, Romney's path to victory are almost none.
Okay, well, building on that momentum and our collective wishes down here in Australia that, Mitt Romney is dead in the water vote-wise, what does the next term for Obama look like as it relates to, or what does it mean for gay and lesbian, trans, bisexual, intersex, queer folk, the full Monty? What's the benefit?
Well, in terms of the benefit for LGBT people, obviously, the president is the most pro-LGBT president that America has ever had. I mean, he ended Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He instituted hospital visitation protections. He stopped defending the so-called Defense of Marriage Act. One of the main areas in which it's going to be helpful is there are a number of Supreme Court justices, the highest court in the United States, that are getting up there in age, and those are technically lifetime appointments. They're expecting at least one, if not two, justices to retire during the second term. So President Obama, getting a second term, will have to ensure that he appoints those justices, meaning that people with pro-LGBT views are going to be put on the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court in this next term there are several marriage-related cases that are before it. So, there's LGBT issues coming up all the time before this court, and we need to make sure that there are pro-LGBT views on there versus Mitt Romney, who would like to appoint, crazy women as bigots to that body.
Well, I think he's planning on getting us all to be human shields, isn't he?
Yeah, pretty much, and that's the other, that's the scary thing about Romney. Well, like Pete said, it kind of depends on what day or what hour of the day you talk to him, but he is the right wing of the Republican Party is very suspicious of him because, you know, he'll say anything to get elected. So they really are holding his feet to the fire. He had a gay staffer, and when that came to light, the religious right cried and screamed and moaned so hard, the staffer was essentially forced out of his campaign.
We did cover that,
pretty outrageous. John,
yeah,
we're actually... We're really struggling with this line here. We're sort of losing you for bits and pieces. So what we're going to do is let you go back to bed and get a couple hours rest before you head off to New Hampshire in a couple of hours. I made a little prediction before, and I'm going to go with it again. 309, 310 college votes to Obama in a landslide election win, and I think you and Michael and the rest of your LGBT community over there are going to be incredibly happy.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure talking to you both, and I hope your prediction comes true, Pete. We're going to work hard to make it happen.
Well, we really appreciate your help, John. We're going to come back to you for a wrap-up once the votes are in. So we'll try and get you a little bit earlier in the day, though, so we're not dragging you out of bed so early. Have a safe trip today, mate.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care now.
Cheers. He is a doll, isn't he? And
oh,
so good of him to
delicious.
Get out of bed
you know,
at that hour
just,
of the morning.
He's pathologically cheerful. Like he's never, he never has a bad word to say about anyone. He's just this total cheerful person. I just adore him.
Well, the proof will be in the pudding, I guess. And in probably about 15 hours' time, he's right. If Ohio goes, it's all
landslide,
over. And there's
baby.
Never been, the last 8 or 9 presidents, that have won an election in the United States have had the state of Ohio in their pocket. So it's very much the bellwether state. We might have a message or two. Is that what we're up to, Serena?
I think we are. I think it's time we're getting the nod from Matt.
Yes, Matt's
the
giving
boss
us
now.
The nod. Okay, let's have a message.
You're listening to Serena and Pete on Salt and Pepper on Joy 94.9, the gayest station in the nation.
Hello, this is Gretel Colleen, and you're tuned into Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good Lord, Gretel Colleen, I haven't heard that name in
I
some time.
I felt like she was saying, it's time to go, Salt and Pepper. Speaking of which, you are listening to Salt and Pepper. It's coming up to 7:45 on Joy 94.9.
Don't forget, we would love to hear from you. We'd like to know what you did for Cup Day, and did you have a little bit of a win, perhaps? 0427 Joy 949, send us an SMS.
Or you can get us on an email of onair@joy.org.au. That should have been. You can email us at clumsy as on the landline. You can chat to the lovely Matt on the desk. That's 1300 Joy 949. Send us a tweet, Salt N Pepper Joy.
Get all technological.
Technological. We've got a Facebook page as well, which people need to get across to and throw us a like or two. We've got Shane Rattenbury on the phone right now here to talk to us about recent developments in the ACT. Good evening, Shane.
Good evening.
Good to talk to you. Much better line too than our last guest in the United States. Mate, you hold the balance of power essentially now in the ACT after the election a couple of weeks ago. 8 seats to the Libs, 8 seats to Labor, which are the incumbent government under Katie Gallagher, the chief minister there in the ACT. So you're all of a sudden wielding a great deal of power in the ACT.
Yes, that's the way the election has turned out. It's left me with a tremendous responsibility, but it's also provided great opportunity. And once the election result was clear, I've sat down and negotiated with both the Labor and Liberal parties to try and strike up an agreement. And ultimately, I've chosen to support the Labor Party, and we signed that agreement last Friday.
Okay, so your 100-point Greens list of conditions included support for a light rail project and territory marriage equality laws. Mm-hmm. Talk us through the Greens' thinking behind that.
Well, the overall package of policy measures that have gone into the agreement cover a whole range of issues across Canberra. Light rail has certainly been one of the headline stories out of that. It's time that we built light rail in this city. We need to transform the city from being such a car-dominated city into having better public transport. But there's a range of initiatives, including cleaning up our lakes, providing more park rangers, more school councillors. So it's the sort of things that the community told us they needed in the run-up to the election.
Now, with no disrespect to anybody in the ACT, it is a god-awful place to drive. I get lost every time I drive.
Many roundabouts.
A light rail would be... Everybody in our studio is nodding, so I think we're all on the same page there. But the equal marriage, now this has been tried before in the ACT. It was quashed through the federal court. How likely is it that it will happen this time?
Well, the previous legislation that's been done in the ACT was on civil unions. And sort of going, you know, I think if we go back seven, eight, 10 years, that was very much where the debate was at. But I think since then, things have changed and people are saying we now want marriage equality. So we haven't tried it previously in the ACT for actual marriage, but we're working on the legal advice of George Williams, the constitutional lawyer, who has put a view that if the federal government doesn't create marriage equality, it doesn't create the right for homosexual people to get married, then that leaves the space free for the states and territories to do it, and that's the basis on which we'll be seeking to create legislation in the ACT.
Okay, so building on that, will you take any lessons from the unsuccessful bid in Tasmania recently?
Yes, certainly. I guess the difference with Tasmania was that in the lower house, the Greens and the Labor Party had the majority and they were able to pass it. It was the upper house that blocked it. Here in the ACT, we only have the one house, and with the Greens and Labor signed up to passing this, it is guaranteed to go through the chamber. It will become law in the ACT. The question mark will then become whether somebody challenges it in the High Court as being unconstitutional. So that will be the danger to any laws we pass in the Territory, which will be a little different to Tasmania.
The ACT is all of a sudden going to become the coolest place in Australia. You can buy fireworks. There is incredible pornography, if that is your thing. There are like supermarkets, hypermarkets full of the stuff. And now equal marriage. This is going to change the face of the ACT, is it?
I think the ACT does have a bit of a reputation as being a little staid, despite all the things you've just mentioned. So,
and chucking a tram line, mate, you're going off like a frog in a sock.
Well, exactly. And that's why I guess, you know, we do want to make this a really 21st century city. And this agreement and the partnership between the Greens and the Labor, I think, will make a real difference for that.
And the commitments you made to your constituents in your seat of Molonglo, tell me if I've pronounced that incorrectly.
No, that's spot on. You've done well.
It's probably one of the biggest areas politically or population.
It is,
yeah,
it is. Yes, we have three electorates in the ACT, and we have these multi-member electorates. So Molonglo returns 7 members to the assembly, and the 2 outer electorates return 5 each. So there's over 100,000 voters in this central electorate.
Look, I think I'm actually very excited to hear what you're doing, and when I think about the implications of what it means for us, it feels like the ACT may in fact be the state that pulls this off. And I think if you do, then you can expect an extraordinary influx of homosexuals into your state.
Yeah, look, that's certainly something that's been canvassed. I think for me the most important part is that we can get it done here, and it's the right thing to do. It should be done. We've seen in the debate at the federal level an incredibly disappointing outcome where I think the parliament is behind community sentiment. We know that a majority of Australians support marriage equality, and I think we're going to be fortunate here in the ACT. We've got a political dynamic that will allow us to get it done, and hopefully that will be the first domino and will inspire other states, perhaps even the federal parliament, to finally move on the issue as well.
Well, it's some wonderful precedent, isn't it?
And we do share your optimism.
Yes, and then, of course, I think the other issue we're touching on is this, you know, the so-called pink dollar, and we may see a level of tourism coming to the ACT. If that's a handy side effect for the ACT, well, good and well, but it's certainly not the most important part of the story as far as we're concerned. It's really about equality, decency and respect for all relationships.
Oh, well, I think you've won 2 new fans here tonight, Shane.
You have indeed.
Thank you.
We would certainly like to keep in touch with you about this issue and your passion for it. I'm loving the sound of the 100-point Greens list of conditions. It sounds like you're not just tackling equality, but a lot of the stuff you're doing is about access as well, which is another form of equality. So congratulations.
Thank you.
We are thrilled to have you on board backing this equality initiative for our community. We've been chatting to Greens MP Shane Rattenbury, who's just had a recent win in the ACT and is now a new poster boy for ACT marriage equality.
Thank you, Shane.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
What a great guy.
Yeah, he's a top bloke.
Wow.
And, you know, I sent a tweet the other day when I saw this, that Canberra is seriously going to become the funnest place in this country.
Porn, fireworks and...
Gay marriage.
Equal marriage.
Quick message from Donna Frock and Sibylla Deluxe saying they've had a lovely drive to the shires of Mitchell and Murrurundi with lunch on the way back at Seymour East. Thank you, ladies.
That's Murrindindi, Pete.
What did I say?
Mararundi.
Where's that?
Murrindindi. It's out somewhere. The girls can probably send us another message and clarify their coordinates if they like. Sibylla Deluxe, that's a very fancy name.
Yes, and Donna Frock.
And Donna Frock. I wonder if they're performers.
Oh, they could be.
Possibly.
Who would know? We're just going back now to our US discussion. Thank you. We just had to chat to Shane there. We've got some more people who are celebrities who are endorsing their favoured incumbent for the presidency tomorrow.
Well, I want to share with you the Cher and Kathy Griffin audio, which is sponsored by a major Jewish organization.
Oh.
Life is that gift from God, and I think even when life begins in that horrible situation of rape, that it is something that God intended to happen.
There's so much at stake. I hope you'll join me in supporting Richard Murdoch for U.S. Senate.
Actually, Mitt, we won't be joining you because there's a lot at stake in this election, especially for women and people who like women and respect them.
I'm looking at you gays, LGBTQIABCD. Look, the point is, this is not the election to be complacent.
Honestly, this is sick stuff. Richard Murdoch thinks pregnancy resulting from rape is a gift from God.
Is that not true?
No.
Okay.
Do you want this guy in the Senate? Maybe he can sit next to Todd Aiken, the Republican nominee from Missouri, who thinks that women's bodies magically shut down pregnancies that result from legitimate rape.
Beep, 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 beep. Is that how they magically attack?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, look, these guys aren't running for town councilman, okay? They're running for the United States Senate.
And what about the guy that looks like Dracula?
Okay, luckily I speak Cher. She means Paul Ryan. You know that guy who thinks that women should only have the right to choose in cases of forcible rape?
I didn't know if there was such a thing as unforcible rape.
Well, there isn't, but enough Cher with you and your logic. The point is that Romney and his buddies are trying to turn back time on women's rights. Look, this is serious. It's all or nothing. We are talking about choice and fair pay and health care, one by one. I mean, they are basically acting like a bunch of gypsies, tramps, and thieves.
Kathleen.
If you believe... What?
We're trying to be serious.
I'm trying to let you be an icon.
All right, I am an icon.
All right, well, I'm kind of like a regional icon. Will you give me that at least? Yeah. All right.
So ladies in Des Moines, voters in Madison, voters in Portsmouth, voters in Fort Lauderdale, voters in Cleveland, we need you to do something for your country. We need you to come together, protect women's rights. So on November the 6th, go and vote. Make your friends vote. Call other people and tell them to vote.
Text your grandma. Talk to my 92-year-old alcoholic mother. Make that person vote. The person that's like, oh, it's a long day for me. I might want to go to the club later. Get that dude to vote. I mean, this is Cher, bitches. Do what she says. And God bless America. I'm Cher and I approve this message. I think I got the hair thing perfect. I really do. It's the small finger, right? Romney wants to turn back time.
Good Lord. Kathy Griffin and Cher, they're endorsing their support, not just for Barack Obama, but for Americans to go and vote. We're going to have a couple of messages and pop back very shortly to wrap it up and a couple of more endorsements maybe.
I think so.
Hi, this is Guy Grossi and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Oh, bit of Guy Grossi. We should bring some food in.
Yes. Now, well, he's only across the road.
I know.
We are talking in this last part of the program about the US election tomorrow. So from, I think, about 10:30, you'll start to see some activity on certainly the non-commercial channels.
We'll certainly be tweeting it, I think.
I'll actually be quite busy in my office.
I don't doubt it.
With maps and things going crazy because I'm a bit of a tart for the politics.
We do have a tweet that's just come in clarifying our previous tweet from Donna Sibylla.
And Sibylla.
Performers, we're old hoofers from way back and younger than springtime. Oh, thanks for listening.
Telling us that Murrindindi Shire is part of the highlands adjacent to Yei. Think 2009 bushfire area.
Big shout out to those travelling and, get home safe.
Be safe on the roads.
Speaking of, I don't know how I can draw a line between safe and Romney, so I'm not even going to try.
Well, he's unsafe.
He's the opposite of safe. There's a little endorsement message here from someone rather well known.
Hello, everyone. I have to say that despite those unimaginably horrible good job numbers, we're feeling pretty confident. Those drapes aren't fit to hang in the Burns bedroom.
You mean the Lincoln bedroom?
For now, there's only one thing that might deny us the presidency that is the God-given property of the Republican Party.
The 47% tape?
Nope.
The empty chair?
Nope.
Cayman Islands?
Not a problem.
Swiss bank accounts?
Pshaw!
$10,000 bet? I like to fire people? Forcible haircut? The tax returns that Wesley Snipes would call suspicious?
No, 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 and no. It's a shaggy dog story about an actual shaggy dog. Apparently, while on vacation, old Mitt strapped his mutt to the roof of his car for a brief 650-mile jaunt. So tonight, we will explain what truly happened and why Mitt is once again a Mormon mensch. Release the hound! Now, Seamus, what did you think about being strapped to the roof of your dada's car? What's that? You liked being tied to the roof of the car? Because it allowed you to see more of this great land of ours and its wonderful natural resources, ripe for drilling and mining and exploiting. Anyway, to put this issue to rest, let's see whose company this noble beast prefers. On one side, we have Mitt Romney offering up an all-American treat. But to even odds, President Obama will tempt you with one of his wife's delicious, healthy snacks. Well, Seamus, who do you like better?
Broccoli Obama.
Or Mitt Romney? Who do you want to take care of you for the next 4 years? Ooh, another jumper. Bring in the next dog.
Look, you know.
Montgomery Burns from The Simpsons endorsing Mitt Romney, the Republican, for tomorrow's election.
I think we're out of time, Pete Dillon. We need to thank the lovely John Becker, who's probably gone back to bed.
Yes, we do.
Shane Ruttenberry.
Yes, we also need to thank Tom Mooney in South Australia. We need to thank Matt,
Matt,
our panellist, Matt on the front desk, and Matt for doing our live read.
Oh, gosh, there's a third Matt.
I know.
Gosh,
and thank you also to Brett for the news before we commenced. Spirit Lounge is next. We better vacate the studio and go and have an ice cream.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Look out for our tweets tomorrow because we will be tweeting the bejesus out of this election.
And you can download our podcast at joy.org.au. Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together make the sparks ignite. And the thought of loving you is getting so exciting. Sky rockets in flight.
Joy when you want, where you want with the Joy app. Download it for free at joy.org.au. Joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.